Blog Talk Radio.
Confident
that you would come through for them time and again. Jesus, you yourself say that if we have faith, even as small as faith, everything we must be true. Command a mountain to move and it will move. But this tree seed, it can move mountains. I want faith like that. With your power as my bear leader, I can say, peace be still. To a raging storm and it will calm. I pray that as I walk your way, that's all I'm praying right now. Peace be still. There's someone that needs a peace be still in this. Thank you, God, for this day. Peace be still. To a raging storm and it will come. I pray that as I walk in your ways, I will have the assurance of your coming through. When I step out all for your glory. All for your glory. You are the God who makes the impossible possible. What a glorious mystery. I don't want to simply marvel at this. I want to walk in it. Increase my faith even as I step out. What? What impossible situation is waiting for you to step out in faith. You know, as I look in the Word today and we think about, you know, incarceration, these young men are older men. It really doesn't give their ages. Stepped out on faith. When the angel walked in and said, come on, y'all come on out now. They could have stayed in that jail and said, eh, we're a little afraid. We don't want to die. But they stepped out on faith. They did what God said to do. And they went to the synagogue and started preaching. And they were not afraid. In our book of genealogy, First Chronicles chapter 7, we get the names of many of the sons of the 12. Some of them we recognize as men doing great things, and some of them we don't recognize because they just got by. So let's go through our genealogy, and then we're going to go through our Acts. And it says the sons of Issachar were Tola, Pua, Jeshub, Jashub, Shimron, four in all. The sons of Tola were Uzzi, Raphaiah, Jerel, Jemai, Jephtham, Shemuel, heads of their father's houses. The sons of Tola were mighty men of valor in their generations. Their numbers in the days of David were 21,600. The sons of Uzzah were Azariah, and the sons of Azariah were Michael, Obadiah, Joel, and Ishiah. All five of them were chief men. And with them, by their generations, according to their father's houses, were 36,000 troops ready for war. But they had many wives and sons. Now their brethren among all the families of Issachar were mighty men of valor listed by their generations, 87,000 in all. The sons of Benjamin were Bela, Becher, and Jediah, three in all. The sons of Bela were Esbon, Yuzah, Uzel, Jeremoth, and Ira, five in all. they were heirs of their father's house, and they were listed by their generations 22,034 mighty men of valor. The sons of Belcher were Zemira, Joash, Elijah, Elonai, Armari, Jeremoth, Abijah, and Alamech, all these are the sons of Belcher, and they were recorded by genealogy according to their generations, the heads of their father's houses, 20,200 mighty men of valor. The sons of Jediah were Bilhan, and the sons of Bilhan were Jeshas, Benjamin, Elhud, Shenaniah, Jethan, Taurus, and All the sons of Jediah were heads of their father's houses, where there were 17,200 mighty men of valor. The fit to fit go out for war, and that something and Humpty were the sons. Shephrim and Ophrim were the sons of Ur, and Hashem was the son of Asher. Sons of Naphtali were Jezreel, Dunai, Jezar, Shalom, the sons of Belahat. It's like, Lord help me, Jesus. These are some names. Can you imagine calling some of these names to dinner? Shopping, hopping. Where are you, boy? Come on, it's some time to eat. That would be so difficult. But in that day, those names probably were normal. Where in our day, it's like, oh my. Why would you name your child something so hard? But then you think about the Hebrew language, the Aramaic language. Those names are probably perfect. Because to them, a name like, I can't think right now of a name that would be difficult for them. Because if they can pronounce these names, they can pronounce anything that we have today. And it goes on to tell us the descendants of Manasseh, his Syrian concubine bore him, his Syrian concubine bore him, Nagar, the father of Gilead, the father of Israel, Midgar, took as his wife the sister of Hophni and Shephrim, whose name was Micah. The name of Gilead's grandson was Zelophehad. Zelophehad, but Zelophehad begot only daughter. Micah, the wife of Micah, bore a son, and she called his name Peresh. The name of his brother was Sheresh, and his sons were Olam and Lakim. The sons of Olam were Dedan. Dedan was a descendant of Gilead, the son of Micah, the son of Manasseh. God, Abijah, and Mirah, and the sons of Shemitah were Anan and Shechem, Lachai, and Aniah. The sons of Ephraim were Shethaliah, buried his son, Tehath, his son, Eladah, his son, Tehath, his son, Zabad, his son, Shutalai, his son, and Ezra, his and Elid, the men of death were born in that land, killed them because they came down to take away the cattle. Then Ephraim, their father, mourned many days, and his brother came to comfort him. And when he went, why, she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Bera, because tragedy had come upon his house. Now his daughter was Shira, who built Lower and Upper Bethlehem, and Uzen, Shira, and Arpah, slave sons, as well as Lesheph and Telah his son, Tiam his son, Laban his son, Amachud his son, Ishmael his son, Nun his son, and Joshua his son. Now their possessions and dwelling places were Bethel and its towns, to the east Nile, to the west Gibeah, and towns and Shechem and as far as Aya and its towns, and by the borders of the children of Manasseh for both Beth Shean and its towns, Tanakh and its towns, Megiddo and its towns, Dor and its towns, in the days of the children of Joseph, the son of Israel. The sons of Asher were Eminem, Ishva, Isra, Era, and their sister, Gera. The sons of Gera were Heber and Melchor, who was the father of Bezalel. And Heber begot Jephthalet, Shumer, Hatham, and their sister, Shua. Ashishua, sons of Japhalet were Pash, Gamhel, and Ashbot. They were the children of Japhalet. The sons of Shuma were Aha, Raga, Jahuban, and Aram. And the sons of his brother Elam were Zophar, Imna, Shelish, and Amar. Amel, the sons of Zophar, were Shua, Harnetha, Joel, Bira, Emma, Beza, Shema, Shelsa, Jethuran, and Bira. The sons of Jethur were Jethanah, Pispa, and Ira. The sons of Ula were Ira, Arai, Anel, and Rizal. All these were the children of Asher, heads of their father's houses, choice men, mighty men of valor, chief leaders, and they were recorded by genealogies among the armies fit for battle. Their numbers were 26,000. Now remember, Benjamin was almost wiped out. Now Benjamin begot Bela, his firstborn, Ashbel the second, Ahara the third, Noah the fourth, and Rapha the fifth. The sons of Bela were Adar, Jira, Abahat, Abishah, Naaman, Oa, Jira, Jephthah, and Jerem. These are the sons of Ehud, who were the heirs of the father's houses of the inhabitants of Geba, and who forced them to move to Methahat, Naaman, Aja, and Jura, who forced them to move either by Giza, Ahihah. Also, Shaharim had children in the country of Moab, after he had sent away Hashem, and Jura his wife, Bahodin, his wife, he begot Jobab, Zabia, Isha, Malcolm, Jehu, Jez, Zakiah, and Miramah. They were the sons of their father's houses. And by Hashem, he begot Abatab and Alpar. The sons of Alpar were Eber, Misham, and Shemed, who built Ono, and Lud with his tent, and Bera and Shema, who were heads of their father's houses of the inhabitants of Ajalon, who drove out the inhabitants of Gath, Ahio, Sheshach, Jeremoth, Zebediah, Arad, Eda, Michael, Isma, Joaz, were the sons of Bera. Zebediah, Meshulam, Isham, Eber, Ishmael, Jezreel and Jobab for the sons of Elpal, Zariah, Zebadiah, Elanai, Zelestai, Al, Adiah, Beriah, Shemrath for the sons of Shemai, Ishpan, Eba, Eel, Abaddon, Zechari, Anna, Ananiah, Elam, Eshtazai, Iphadiah, Pino, for the sons of Sheshach, Shem, Shariah, Sherahiah, Ethaliah, Zerahiah, Elijah, Zechariah, for the sons of Joram. These were the heads of the fathers' houses by the generations, chief men. These dwelt in Jerusalem. Now the father of Gibeon, whose wife's name was Micah, dwelt at Gibeon, and his firstborn son was Abaddon, then Zer, Kis, El, Nadab, Gedar, Ahio, Zechariah, and Miklos, who begot Shemai. They also dwelt alongside their relatives in Jerusalem. With their brethren, Nor begot Kish begot Saul begot Jonathan, Malchishiah, Abinadab, and Ishbel. The sons of Jonathan were Mirabel and Mirabiel begot Micah, Tirah, and Ahaz. Ahaz begot Jehoadah. Jehoadah begot Elamed, Elzamah, and Zamari. And Zamari begot Moza. Moza begot Benai, Raphael, his son, Elisha, his son, and Azel, his son. And Azel had six sons, whose names were these: Ezrakim, Cheru, Ishmael, Shirah, Shariah, Obadiah, and all these were the sons of Azel. And the sons of Ishmael's brother were Ulam, his firstborn, Jeshub, the second, and Eliphalet, the third. The sons of Ulam were mighty men of valor, archers, and they had many sons and grandsons, 150 in all. These were all the sons of Benjamin. And I say, praise the Lord, we've gotten through the genealogy of the sons of Israel. I would not tell you that it is not hard, because we got more of them on tomorrow. But let's get into our psalm this morning. And I tell you, whoa, God is in charge of everything. We got to listen to God. Listen to God. Don't listen to man taken to the throne and not the phone. And it says that you hold my eyelids open. When we are tired, it is God that opens our eyelids. It is God that keeps us awake. It is God, and I'm speaking from experience, because this morning, this sleepy head was not ready to get up. This sleepy head was sleeping good until 45 when my alarm went off. I got up and checked to see if everything was in place, because I was asleep. And when I say asleep, I was holding hogs, as we say down south. I was calling the hogs, I was calling the chickens, I was calling it all, because I was sleeping good. But God, and I thank him for waking me up this morning. I thank him for giving me a voice. It might be a little hoarse, but I thank him that I have a voice at all, because there's somebody who cannot speak. There's somebody who cannot see. There's somebody who cannot hear. I won't complain. Hallelujah. I thank God for another day. Hallelujah. But somebody didn't wake up this morning. And we got to say, Lord, thank you. So when he holds your eyelids open, don't get mad. Say thank you because he's keeping you awake. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I'll call to remember my song in the night. Hey. A song in the night. I meditate within my heart and my spirit diligence. We got to meditate. Sometimes the Lord will hold your eyes open to meditate. He will hold your eyes open to gain knowledge. He will keep your eyes open to meditate on his word and to know that he is a God. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has the God forgiven to be generous? And anger shut up his tender. So what? And we go through some life lessons for the 77th Psalm. Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? When we're in the middle of some adversity, the answer to these questions often seem to be yes. In fact, however, God's mercy never ceases, and his promises never fail. God is always merciful and faithful to his promises, always. God is always faithful. He will make a way out of no way. He will take us higher to higher heights and deeper depths. God is in charge of our life. And he loves us for the word. And if we go back into Psalm 77, Psalm verses 4 through 10, fixing your thoughts. Fixing your thoughts. Where is your mind? Where is your mind? Are you on what happened on this show, America's Got Talent, The Voice, or Who Won American Idol, or any of that foolishness, what's going on in the courts against anybody, everybody, somebody? We got to let all that stuff go, shake it off, and put your thoughts on Jesus. Oh, my God, thank you. And as we go in, it says, no doubt you can understand where Asa, the psalmist, was coming from when he wrote, you hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. You spent sleepless nights tossing and turning in your bed. Yes, I have. Consider solution after solution for your dilemma. Though your body is completely weary, and what you need most is rest. You just can't shut your eyes. I know I got my hand up. How about y'all? Have y'all been in that situation where you know there's a bill that's due and you know your bank account does not have the money and there's no place you can get it and you just have to pray and say, Lord, you know what I need. And I'm going to tell you this. God was in it. God was seeing somebody on you. God was seeing a hat. You're like, where'd this hat come from? Oh, I got to go cut grass and I need that. Or where did this come from? God put it there. I was looking for a shirt that I had not been able to find. I tore up a room looking for that church and never did find it. One morning, I'm getting up, and there's the shirt. We sold it at the end of my day. I'm like, where'd you come from? Have no idea. But the shirt showed up. And all I could say was, thank you, Lord. I had to pay a bill. Wasn't due until the next week. Opened up my bank account. And there was the check right there. That I needed to pay the bill. Come on. Don't tell me what God can do. God will do miracles when you least expect it. But you expect us to at least say, thank you. God will give you what you need when you need it. And what I need is the Lord to give me strength to wake up this morning. Woo, hallelujah. And he goes on to say, because of the heaviness of exhaustion and helplessness, your lips are silent, but your tormented spirit is quietly crying. Oh, my God, I don't know what to do. I know I'm not the only one that's been through that. Well, you have that I don't know what to do in your spirit. But what you don't know is what you're doing, is what you need to do, which is to take it to the throne and not the phone. Take it to God. And it says, yet please understand, just as a greasy fast food burger couldn't possibly help a bad case of indigestion, analyzing your plot over the taste. Over again will never help your trouble. So rather you must redirect your focus. You know, don't think about that greasy burger. Think about a nice salad. Think about some sweet potatoes. Think about some potatoes. Think about the things that you need to expect to help you. And it goes on to say, as I wrote, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent speech, diligent search. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Things that will heal you and help you rest is to turn your thoughts to the faithless Father. Faithfulness of God. Come on now. Turn your thoughts to the faithfulness of God. That is why Paul wrote, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Lord God, I need to wake up. Lord God, I need to get ready for work. Lord God, I need to be able to speak your word clearly. Lord God, I need you to take control. Lord God, speak through me. Lord God, you said in your word, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I'm thanking you, God. Let your request be made known to God. Lord, my request is I need to wake up. Lord, my request is I need to speak clearly. Lord, my request is I need you to increase as I decrease. Lord God, I thank you for it right now. We got to have that in our spirit. And I'm thanking God for hearing my prayer. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, minds, and through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, are of good report. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything speak-worthy, praise-worthy. God, to meditate on the good in our life. Don't look at your mess and say, oh, Lord, just take me away. No. Clean up the mess. And I know it's hard. I have my own things I got to clean up. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, I don't want to even tackle that mountain. But God's like, you're the one that thought you needed this. You're the one that thought you needed that. You're the one that thought you needed X, Y, Z. And you realize that you didn't need any of that stuff. All you needed was Jesus. Mm. And as we continue, here Paul offers the blueprint for ending the sleepless night. First, you pray out your anxieties, discuss your troubles with God, and give them to him. Second, you must recall God's goodness to you and with praise and gratefulness. When you remember God's amazing ability to create new, unthought of solutions, you thought your thoughts on God's glorious character and your nature is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, and unconditional love. Conditional love. That's what God gives each and every one of us. Unconditional love. And all I can say is thank you, God. Whenever your thoughts begin to stray back to your troubles, counter the attack with more of God's wonderful, never-changing attributes. God is love. God is peace. God is joy. God will handle this situation because he knows what to say. And as we finish up, fixing your thoughts, this life example. And it says this. And I'm going to read this paragraph one more time. It says, it will be difficult and it will take all of your self-will, but you must change the focus of your mind to God, who will surely help you overcome every dilemma. Then you will find that it is true that he gives his beloved sleep. Oh, that's me yawning. God gave me good sleep. And quiet as it's kept, I'd like to turn over and go back to sleep. But I have an assignment. I have an assignment from God to read his word, to meditate on his word, to give his word to the masses. And that's what I'm doing. I'm getting up. I'm waking up. I'm doing my assignment. Are you up and doing your assignment this morning? What is your assignment? And are you handling the business that God has given you to handle? Or are you taking all your negativity out to someone else to have? Hallelujah. You know, so you say, what are you doing? God is wanting us to take a deep breath. As a young lady in our church who just happens to be my namesake says, every morning we got to breathe God in and push out all the negativity. Anything that's bothering your soul, breathe in God and push it out. I listened to a young lady on the radio named Laree, that I think it's Laree Favor. And she has this song every morning of affirmation. And it just says, breathe it in, let it out. Breathe it in, let it out. Breathe it in, let it go. Let all the negativity go in your life. Let it all go out as you breathe in more of God. Breathe out your troubles. Breathe out your situations that have you in turmoil that you cannot sleep and you need your eyelids open. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19:13-14, a foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are continual driven. If you are a contentious wife, always yapping and whining and complaining about everything. You didn't put the toilet seat down. You said you didn't like what I made last night. You said da 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 da. You did da 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 da. And we got to stop being contentious. You know, and it says it's like a continual tripping, which means it will get on your nerves. This is houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Hallelujah to my sisters out there that are married where you're a prudent wife or where you're out losing your mind, spending, 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 and creating debt so that your husband had to pay it. We got to understand that we are got to be prudent. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So let's get into our word for this morning. And all I can say is it is a great word. And it says, but when the officers, because remember on yesterday, our disciples had been put in prison. You know, because they got mad because they was preaching the word of God. And they said, you know, don't do this and don't do that. And you can't say this and you can't say that. You know, they had dealt with Ananias. And then, you know, Peter said, okay, come on now. He's preaching the word. And then it says, then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. And they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But listen to this. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened. Can y'all say it with me? Opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And that is exactly what they did. And it goes on to say, now understand that all these folks going to prison, they figure they're going to beat them up and scare them and that they won't do it again. But they weren't there. And it says, but when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Bam, back at you. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, yet they set them before the council and the high priest and asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? We know this name is the name of Jesus, and we will teach it, and we will preach it, and we will say it wherever we go. The name of Jesus sustains me. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, they're like, you can't teach in that name. And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, intend to bring this man's blood on us. Again, religious leaders, not thinking about of the Christ, not thinking about the words of God, the books of the law. All they're thinking about is themselves. Come on now. Call it like we see it. And intend to bring this man's blood on us. Well, us is the cause. But us does not realize you were being used by the Lord. Hallelujah. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Can I say it one more time? We ought to obey God rather than men and for the Holy Spirit. We ought to obey God instead. Amen. And then it goes on to tell us, rather than men, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses in these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Help. So when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one of the council set up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed for yourselves what you intend to do regardless of these men. But some time ago, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men and about 400 joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up. He rose up. And it goes on to say, and it says in verse 37, after this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. Again, all just like in today's world, there's going to be a lot of false prophets. There's going to be a lot of folks claiming to be Jesus. There's going to be a lot of folks perpetrating a lie. A lot. And they were going on in his day just as they are today. And he told them, I'm going to say it one more time, after this man Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him, he also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. But if this plan of this work is of men, it will come to nothing. Come on now. But it is of God. You cannot withdraw it. Overthrow it. You cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. In other words, let me tell y'all something. If it's not of God, it's not going to go anywhere. But if it is of God, you messing with God's business. As the apostles told him, we going to do what God tells us to do. We ought to obey God rather than men. We going to obey God rather than you. And this very wise man is saying, if they not real, it won't last. Don't worry about it. But if it is real and you go out and do something, you will have their blood all over you. Woo! And then as we finish up this word this morning, and they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily in temple. Excuse me. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy and suffer shame for his name, and daily in the temple and in every house they did not speak, teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And that is our assignment, to teach and preach that Jesus is the Christ. And as we finish up these life lessons for Acts chapter 5, verses 38 through 39, if this is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest you fight against God. Gamaliel, great wisdom, was founded in the principle that whatever is done outside of God's will cannot last. However, whatever God does is eternal. God's great plan will never fail. Obey. Plan. Will never fail. Thank you, God. And as we go to the last one in 41, they departed, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They got beat up, put in prison, beat up again, told not to use the name of Jesus, and they counted it all joy. They counted it joy to go through what they were going through because they did it for Jesus. And it says our culture looks at shame as an almost entirely negative thing, but the Bible consistently recognizes the shame of being identified with Christ as one of the greatest possible blessings. So we are blessed beyond measure when we give up whatever it is for Christ. That is our word this morning. I thank you for bearing with your sleepy host today, for allowing me to butcher some names, but understand that we also obey God rather than men. And God said to get up this morning and read this word, which is what I did. Whereas men say, you're not getting enough rest. You need to not do that show. You need to just go ahead and go to sleep. You just got to get you a good night's sleep. You know, and then if God tells you to do that show, you do it some other time. But you don't have to get up every day and do that. You need to get some rest. That's not my assignment. My assignment is to get up and do this every day. Except for Thursday. I thank God for waking me up this morning. Closing me in my life, man. Thank you, Father God, for the word that has been read, the word that has been spoken. And Lord God, as we get ready to depart from each other, we pray, may the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister. Your worth doesn't have to be earned or proved. It already exists. Always know that you have value because you are valuable to God. Have a thankful Thursday. Let's thank God that he woke us up. Let us thank God that he gave us a new day. Let us thank God for the privilege of serving him in whatever capacity you are being assigned. Thank God. Thank you. Thank our Savior, Jesus Christ, for being the Lord of my life. It is time for us to depart, family. So I have to tell you this morning, it's a wrap. Keep me in your prayers. I got two more days to do what I'm doing to help my grandchild. So I say, tell God, watch over that lady that she needs to rest. But she's going to get up early in the morning